I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, our series of conversations with the candidates continues with Al Redmer Jr., a Republican candidate for Baltimore County Executive. He was just 19 years old when he began his career in the insurance industry. More than 40 years later, he is in his second stint as the Maryland Insurance Commissioner. Redmer was endorsed by Governor Larry Hogan in his primary against conservative delegate Pat McDonough, a race Mr. Redmer won handily. Experts predict a shortfall of 1,700 seats in county schools over the next decade. Can the county afford to renovate some of its high schools and replace trailers in other locations without raising taxes or damaging its bond rating? We'll talk schools and the other issues that affect Maryland's third largest jurisdiction with Al Redmer when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. If you listen to our program regularly, you know that we are committed to doing everything we can to help voters make informed decisions when they cast their ballots in the election that is now a mere 7 weeks away. For the past 7 months, we have invited candidates for public office from all parties to talk about the issues that are important to their constituents. Today, it's another in our series of conversations with the candidates, with Maryland Insurance Commissioner and former state delegate Al Redmer Jr. Mr. Redmer is a Republican who is closely aligned with Governor Larry Hogan. He is running against Democrat Johnny Olszewski Jr. Mr. Redmer began his career in the insurance business at the age of 19. He served as the Maryland Insurance Commissioner during the Ehrlich administration, and in 2015, Governor Hogan appointed him to be the commissioner for the second time. Before taking his first turn in that role, Mr. Redmer spent 13 years in the Maryland House of Delegates. He represented Cockeysville, Timonium, Lutherville, and Towson. He grew up in Perry Hall. He now lives in Middle River. Al Redmer is 62 years old. He and his wife, Sandy, are the parents of 5 children and the grandparents of 7. We welcome your questions, your calls, and your comments for Al Redmer. We will give priority to listeners who live in Baltimore County, but we welcome everybody. You can join us at 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, to drop us a tweet @midday_WYPR. And as we do with all of our conversations with the candidates, we are streaming the conversation on the WYPR Facebook page. Mr. Redmer, good to see you, sir. Thanks for coming back.
It's good to see you, and I hate to do it, but I have to clarify that I did not start my career in the insurance business at age 19. I was the ripe old age of 23 when I started.
I got a note that said it was 19. I was told you were a prodigy.
We are not going to talk about what I was doing at age 19.
There's a lot in the news about people, what they were doing in high school. Yeah, we'll punt that topic. Speaking of high school, I do want to talk about the high schools in Baltimore County. Yeah. This is clearly one of the big issues in this campaign, and we'll face the next county executive and the county council. There's a new report from the Sage Policy Group that was just discussed last night at a meeting in Dundalk, saying that doing what's required to renovate and restore high schools, even build new ones, could cost as much as $620 million. We talked about this a little bit the last time you were here a few months ago. Has your thinking about the situation with school overcrowding in Baltimore County evolved, and in what way?
I wouldn't say it has evolved. I think more likely it has solidified. In the last number of months, I have toured Lansdowne. I have toured Delaney and toured Towson and saw the dilapidated condition that they're in. I have been in other schools that are not quite as bad, but it's clear that the county has failed to invest in basic infrastructure for years, and not just schools, but other facilities as well, and equipment and maintenance and IT and so on. So it's clear to me that we have a lot of problems, a lot of unmet needs, and we need a long-term plan to deal with this. Doesn't mean we're going to avoid short-term solutions, but we need to get our arms around the long-term plan. So we're going to go around the county, district by district, and step one will be to work with all of those interested parties, the PTAs, the local chamber of commerce, the legislators, the members of the county council, all of the interested parties. And step one, we need to identify all of those unmet needs in Baltimore County, and that includes schools.
1,700 seats are predicted to be a shortfall over the next decade. That clearly indicates the need for some new buildings or expansion of existing buildings. I guess there's two ways of dealing with this. One is to relocate some of the students, move them from one school to another if there's a school that has room, and the other is to build. Do you have a sense right now, given the input that the county has received, because the school system has been, you know, inviting people to weigh in on this for a while, over a period of time. What do you think?
Sure. Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to have, and I will ask the Board of Education to create an inventory of every school and the quality of that school, in addition to the capacity issues, because there's, again, maintenance and those kinds of things. It's going to be expensive, and I am expecting that working with the Governor Hogan in his second term, he has enthusiastically endorsed me, by the way. He's been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades. We have a great, close working relationship, and I am confident that we can leverage additional state dollars for these projects. Additionally, though, I think we have to explore other options on how to pay for it. I believe we need to look at the possibility, and I'm not suggesting this is the answer, but I believe we need to explore privatizing the construction of schools. You know, what happens today is we create the specs, we send it out for bid, and we ask contractors to tell us what it would cost to pay for to build a school using our money. I believe we need to investigate doing the same process, but ask them how much it would cost for us to lease those buildings for 30, 40, or 50 years, and then with an option to buy at the end of it. If we do that, I believe the construction cost for the same exact school goes down. But equally as important, if we do it, we're using their capital to build the buildings, not ours. So by utilizing private sector capital, that allows us the ability to do more sooner than we otherwise would be able to do. So again, I'm not suggesting that that's a solution, but I think we need to think outside the box. We need to be creative and look at all options on how we can tackle this problem.
Yeah, it's certainly worth pursuing. Let's talk about that in a second. But first, let me pick up on your first point, and that's Governor Hogan's support for the school system and the state support for facilities. There is this 21st century initiative for school buildings in the city and other jurisdictions around the state. But the governor had some pretty harsh words for the folks running the county schools just earlier this month when school started. There were some very hot days. There were schools that had to be let out early because of air conditioning problems. The air conditioning issue, you know, came up when Mr. Kamenetz held the position. Of course, listeners will recall that Kevin Kamenetz, as the county executive, was running for governor, and he passed away quite suddenly in May. What do you have a sense that Governor Hogan would be open to, assuming he is reelected, would be open to more money for the schools, given the harshness of his language about the schools?
So
I Baltimore believe, County, too.
Right, sure. So, you know, common sense tells you that if you are interacting with somebody that shares your approach, and that is to set aside partisan differences and seek common sense solutions, that you're gonna get farther than if you're dealing with somebody that is an antagonist. And clearly, the former county executive was an antagonist of the governor because obviously was planning a gubernatorial election. The issue of air conditioning went back a number of years. Both the governor and the comptroller offered additional state money for short-term solutions for air conditioning. The county executive decided not to do that. My own speculation is it was more for political reasons. He didn't want to appear subservient to the governor, but I wasn't part of those conversations. The only thing I know is that the governor always seeks these common sense solutions. You know, I'm a Larry Hogan Republican. I was a Larry Hogan Republican before Larry Hogan was actually governor. And I believe that, you know, in a spirit of finding solutions that the governor will be easy to work with, and that we will be able to leverage additional state dollars for some of these challenges.
In terms of the public-private partnership that people mm-hmm. often refer to in a variety of situations, you've just raised the specter of it for mm-hmm. school construction, which is certainly worth pursuing. What's the downside to that? I mean, once the private sector is involved in owning, constructing, and running government buildings, county-owned or county buildings, like something as fundamental to any community as a school, that can be, you know, in the eyes of many, a slippery slope to real problems.
So I think it's how you create the arrangement. So I don't envision having these contractors be responsible for ongoing maintenance and upkeep and those types of things. I believe that it would be the exact same situation as it is now. Somebody comes in and they build the school. At the end of the project, you have your ribbon cutting ceremony, and the contractor hands over the keys, and you now have the building. So the only difference, I think, would be instead of owning the building, we would lease the building. But again, it's all based on the terms of the arrangement. But there's nothing that says that we could not operate the building as we see fit. We do the maintenance, we do the upkeep, we do all of those kinds of things.
Al Redmer Jr. is the Republican candidate for Baltimore County Executive. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wipr.org to drop us a tweet @MiddayWIPR. And you can also catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. Mr. Redmer, we have a caller from Catonsville, Michael, who I believe wants to weigh in about the schools. Michael, welcome to Midday with Al Redmer.
Hey.
Hey there, Michael.
Listen, I personally feel like you and Governor Hogan are both really decent guys and everything, so I'm not a fire-breathing partisan on anything. However, I work with developers a lot. I'm in the building industry, and I've worked on low-energy buildings, schools, housing, et cetera. And I can tell you that if you give more responsibility to developers to define for you what's affordable and what is not, you will have a spiral downward in terms of performance, environmental performance, and the net benefit to society. They are not set up to think about the long-term benefits. I would strongly resist what you just proposed, and I would also say that the county needs to and can, and do so with a very good ROI, define zero energy schools, low environmental impact housing and school programs, and do so and reap the benefits by owning the buildings and the energy liability so that you can profit from having zero energy demand while improving the climate.
All right, Michael, thank you for that comment.
Yeah, great comments, Michael, and I don't disagree. As a matter of fact, if you're going to build a school anyway, it should be state-of-the-art, not only from environmental standards, but also from safety standards, using all the best products and best practices that are out there. So, again, I'm not suggesting that this is a solution. I'm suggesting that it's something that should be explored, and I have no intention of turning over the process of planning and designing schools to the private sector. Right now, when we build a school, we create the specs. We create what it's going to look like, what the materials are going to be, what the environmental standards are going to be, and so on. That's part of the RFP process. We hand them a completed document that tells them what we want built. If we do it, it would have to be the same way. We create the environmental standards. We create the standards that have to exist. I guess the oversimplification is right now we can go in and look at a condo, and the condo was built to a certain set of specifications. We can go into that condo and we can either buy it and own it, or we can go into the exact same condo and rent it where we don't own it. Same condo, same materials, same environmental standards, et cetera. It's just a means of financing the construction.
And when, by way of giving voters some insight into your political philosophy when it comes to things like that, the Sun, Baltimore Sun, had an editorial just a few days ago that mentions that Baltimore County is at or near its capacity for both capital borrowing and operating support for the school. So given the fact that the capacity is pretty much met, if the Sun's information is correct, and these extra capital improvements are needed, again, the Sage Policy Group having listed three scenarios last night. One costs about $590 million, the other costs about $605 million, and then there was a third that costs $628 million. It's a combination, again, of relocating some students and adding some buildings. They talk about building an addition at Dundalk High School and replacing Lock Raven and Towson High School, as well as big improvements to Lansdowne and Delaney High Schools. And again, the communities in all of those areas have been very vocal about what their preferences are. Talk to voters about, you know, how you would approach this very thorny problem of very limited resources and very large need.
So first, let me say this. You know, we're talking about the huge unmet needs in Baltimore County, and we're just talking about schools right now. We're talking that our operating budget is tapped out. Our credit cards are maxed out. Just in March, Moody's, the bond rating house, put Baltimore County on a watch list. That means our AAA bond rating is at risk. And without getting in the weeds, if we lose our AAA bond rating, because of fiscal mismanagement, the interest rates that the county pays
costs a lot more money
to
borrow money,
and we have to, we will have to increase property taxes. Nobody wants that. Now, at the same time, we're talking about these capital expenses. My opponent has proposed $2 billion of new spending in mostly areas of operating expenses, not even capital. So the whole campaign I have been talking about. The failure of the county to invest in basic infrastructure, that we need to take a step back. We need to look at what county, the county should be doing, and we need to focus on those things that we should be doing, do it more efficiently, effectively, and cost-effectively before we go out and blow a whole new $2 billion on other, other issues. So, and it's not just the schools. There are other failures to invest in infrastructure. So we need to do this long-term plan, looking for short-term solutions, but we need a long-term 10-year plan. So we're going to go around the county, district by district. We're going to identify what all of the unmet needs are in the community, including the schools.
Al Redmer Jr. is the Maryland Insurance Commissioner and a former state delegate. He is the Republican nominee for Baltimore County Executive. His Democratic opponent in that race is Johnny Olszewski Jr. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Al Redmer. We'll take your questions and comments at 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. To drop us a tweet, @MiddayWYPR. To follow me on Twitter, @TomHallWYPR. And you can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page, where we are streaming our conversation from here in Studio A. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on our program, we're going to take a deep dive into the results of a new poll by the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College with the center's director, Malia Cromer, and Luke Broadwater, who covers politics for the Baltimore Sun. That poll shows Larry Hogan with a commanding lead over Ben Jealous in the gubernatorial race. We're going to look behind those numbers, as well as some numbers about other questions that the folks at Goucher College asked poll respondents. And on Friday, Doris Kearns Goodwin will join me. She's going to talk about her latest book. It's called Leadership in Turbulent Times. It is really terrific. It examines the accomplishments of four presidents who loom large on the historical landscape: Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson. So I'll talk with Doris Kearns Goodwin about why these presidents were able to do what they did, from the Civil War to World War II to passing iconic civil rights and anti-poverty legislation. Doris Kearns Goodwin coming up Friday here on Midday. And speaking of leadership, my guest today would like to assume the mantle of leadership of Baltimore County. Al Redmer Jr. has served as the Maryland Insurance Commissioner during the Hogan administration, and he's running for Baltimore County Executive against Democrat Johnny Olszewski Jr. You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 410-662-8780. You can email us midday@wipr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWIPR, and you can also find us on the WIPR Facebook page. I want to talk about another issue that folks in Baltimore County think a lot about, and that's just the general quality of the education, not just that we're not going about the physical plan of the buildings. But you have made a pledge to create an Office of Inspector General. This, to my reckoning, seems to mirror what the governor is talking about in terms of a statewide office to oversee all educational operations in all jurisdictions. What would this Office of Inspector General do? How would it differ? In what ways would it differ from an inspector general that the Hogan administration may create, and what do you want to accomplish with it?
So we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to audit contracts, and this is not just for the school system. This is going to be throughout Baltimore County. So think of it as process improvement. So we're going to go into each department in a business-like, methodical way, and we're going to look at all of the processes in that department. What do we do? How do we do it? How can we do it more efficiently, effectively, and cost-effectively? For two reasons: to be more efficient and more customer service-oriented for the individuals and businesses that we serve. But equally as important, to save money with the process. In Baltimore County, as an example, we're still buying carbon paper by the truckload. Carbon paper. We still use couriers to pick up paper at one location and drive it across the county and deliver it. Most organizations say, we need to get to 2018 standards. In Baltimore County, in some instances, we need to get to 1978 standards. It's like we don't even know the fax machine has been invented yet. So it's not just an issue for the school board. It's an issue for Baltimore County in general. We need to become more efficient and more cost effective. Now, specifically as it relates to education, let me say this. I know that the county executive does not run the Board of Education. The board does. So they hire the superintendent. There's no formal role in education for the county executive except to write the check and fund it. However, no matter what I've done in my life, I've always been very active, visible, and engaged. As a member of the House of Delegates, I had no formal role in governing education. But I can tell you, I had over 20 schools in my district. I was in each one of those schools multiple times a year, working with students and teachers, administrators, and as well as parents. I could tell you in real time what was going on in the school system, and I spent a lot of time advocating to the superintendent and the Board of Education. That's the kind of county executive I'm going to be. I will be in tune in real time with what's going on. I will be a frequent visitor in schools in Baltimore County, and I will be a strong advocate to the school board and the superintendent. The school system in Baltimore County has deteriorated significantly. There is—
You're talking about the quality of education.
The quality of education. There is no discipline in schools. Bullying has run rampant. Teachers are frequently physically assaulted. They're verbally assaulted on a weekly, if not daily, basis. They're not allowed to maintain control in their classroom. Additionally,
in what ways are they not allowed to control their classroom?
Because they are not given the support to discipline children. So if you can't discipline, you if you're not getting the support, you cannot control what's going on. And as a result of that, you've got kids that are, if they're not being bullied, they're not in a proper educational environment because of disruptive students. I'm told that you can't fail a kid. You know, they just keep get passed along to the next grade, whether they're learning or not. I'm told that you can't give a kid a failing grade, less than 50% on a test.
Are these anecdotal tellings, or is this data that you've
got data that we're looking at? As a matter of fact, another issue is, while my opponent wants to give free community college to folks, that's part of that $2 billion, and I get it. I mean, I'm a fan of education. My grandkids are in the Baltimore County school system, so I understand that. However, rather than spending new money for this, we have, I'm told, 50% data, 50% of graduating seniors need remedial education to get into college. So rather than spending, you know, brand new money for new initiatives, I think, again, we need to take a step back, we need to reset, and we need to focus on those things, those basic services the county is supposed to provide.
Verlita White is the superintendent of schools on an interim basis. It's been interim now for quite some time. As she makes the point, the kids aren't there on an interim basis. They are only in the fifth grade for
sure.
The year they're in the fifth grade, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Does she enjoy your support? And if you were elected, would you continue to support her?
I will support, I will work with her. I will collaborate with her on a daily basis. When Verlita White's issues first arose, I indicated publicly at the time that I did not believe that she was the right person for the job at that time. However, as I mentioned, I'm going to work in a nonpartisan, collaborative, common sense approach. And that means I will be coordinating and collaborating and advocating to Verlita White. So I'll be working with her on a, if not a daily basis, a weekly basis, and look forward to having a close working relationship with her, as well as the members of the school board, in trying to fix the problems in Baltimore County.
And when it comes to efficiency and figuring out ways of doing things in a more cost-effective manner, is it your opinion that the best way to do that is to create another layer of bureaucracy with a new office of Inspector General? In other words, do these departments, Department of Education, the Department of, you know, Public Works, the Police Department, whomever, don't they have the capacity to audit themselves and to make efficiencies without an additional oversight position?
No. We call it an Office of Inspector General because people understand what that is. I don't know what we're going to call it. It's not going to be a layer of bureaucracy. These are going to be a small team of folks, some of whom already may be county employees that are going to work and report to the county executive's office, and view it this way. And again, most candidates will tell you how they will govern if you elect them. I've been traveling around telling folks how I have governed for years in both the public and private sector. We do this in the Maryland Insurance Administration on a regular basis. One guy goes department by department and looks at the process. So this is not top-down management where we're gonna tell you how to reinvent the thing. It's a bottom-up process. So we start out working with rank-and-file employees. We work with the management team, and this guy think of as an internal consultant who helps guide them to come up with their own common sense solutions for running government more efficiently and effectively. So I learned a long time ago, if you want to be more efficient and you want to be more effective, you don't necessarily go to the managers. You go to the folks that are in the trenches doing this stuff every day. They're the ones that have the good ideas. They're the ones that know how to make things more efficient and more effective. So we just need to unleash them, empower them to do the things that they know make sense. They just have not had the opportunity to do before this time.
Al Redmer is running for Baltimore County Executive as the Republican nominee in that race. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wipr.org to drop us a tweet at @MiddayWIPR. You can also catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. Mr. Redmer, we have an email from Brad who says, you are the current insurance commissioner. You're on the radio at noon. Most of us are at work. Are you here on taxpayer dollars? And will you release your timesheets to the public? And Eric joins us on the telephone from Dundalk, and I believe Eric has a similar question. Eric, welcome to Midday with Mr. Redmer.
Hi, Mr. Redmer. first of all, hats off to you for running. That takes a lot of guts to do.
Thank you.
But it sounded like the other young man sounded like he had a similar question. So my question, I was at another debate where you were at, and you asked, you said you didn't have a problem with trailers at our schools. Can you tell me why that's not an issue, that you have problems with trailers at our schools?
So that's I either misstated or you misinterpreted what I said. I do not believe that trailers are a solution in Baltimore County. What I either said or what I meant to say was, as a kid, I didn't have a problem being in trailers. So that was my comment. As a matter of fact, when I was in school, we used to like try to fight to get into the trailer. So I apologize if I stated that incorrectly. I do not believe trailers are a solution for Baltimore County school system.
I want to ask you about violence reduction.
Excuse me. Can we go back to Brad and
sure.
And my whether I'm on the clock or not? And
yes, sir. Forgive me.
That's okay.
I'm moving too fast here. Yep.
I appreciate the question, Brad. I'm a state employee, and like all state employees, we have annual leave and personal leave. So I never ever campaign while I'm on the state clock, if you will. So some folks, when they take annual leave, they go play golf. Other guys go play, go fishing. I prefer to spend my time sitting with guys like Tom Hall or the voters of Baltimore County. So I am very, very specific as to the reporting of my time and do not campaign when I should be working. As an example, Monday, I chaired a public hearing dealing with the Affordable Care Act and insurance rates. Yesterday, I was in Annapolis providing a legislative briefing in the House Government Operations Committee. So when I need to be working, I'm working to the extent I can take annual leave to present my message to the citizens of Maryland. I use my annual leave to do that, but I appreciate you asking.
Brad's suggesting releasing your timesheets. Is that something you think is necessary to do?
So, those are personnel records, and I don't understand. I really don't know what the rules are for releasing those or not. But I can tell you that my my primary election opponent filed a formal complaint against me, alleging
Delegate Pat McDonough.
Alleging. I was doing this, that I was campaigning on public time. The Ethics Commission, as they should, opened an investigation, and I had to supply phone records. I had to supply copies of my timesheets, as well as, I forget the number, but it was like thousands of emails for them to review. So I have nothing to hide. The State Ethics Commission is looking at that stuff,
and it certainly there are many current office holders who are running to be reelected, and
correct.
They are obviously on the state payroll as well. I want to talk about violence reduction and public safety. This is an issue that you've raised. You've mentioned the problem that there are some people committing crimes who don't live in the county. They live in other jurisdictions, particularly Baltimore City, and you've singled out Baltimore City as one of the sources for some of the violence. Talk about why you think that is and what the solution is. Is there a regional approach to public safety that you would embrace with between Baltimore City and Baltimore County? And if so, what would that look like?
There is. And, my opponent is supporting Ben Jealous. Ben Jealous has a proposal to slash the public safety budget and in turn release a significant part of the prison population back out onto the street. I can tell you that certainly is not the solution. The Baltimore County Police Department first.
And Mr. Jealous, by the way, says that he can do that without affecting public safety at all. He's talking about doing this as a budget reduction measure.
And I just happen to disagree. Mm-hmm. I don't think releasing folks out of prison can be done without impacting public safety. But the Baltimore County Police Department, we are blessed to have a talented, dedicated police department. there's just not enough of them. I mentioned the failure to invest in basic infrastructure. The police department has been a victim of that. We are well over 100 police officers short. That's just by headcount. Even more concerning than that, we create specialized units, which in and of itself is okay, but we have to staff them, and we staff them by pulling police officers off the street out of community patrolling. We need to have more police officers, and we will do that. We also need to make sure that they've got the updated equipment and specialized training that they need. Now, specifically as it relates to crime and the relationship with Baltimore City. So you need only read the paper in the last week and a half. The multiple shootings and murders in Baltimore County as a result of gang and drug activity that originated with folks, I'm told, by the police department in Baltimore City. So there does need to be a regional approach with and collaboration with Baltimore City, and not just with as it relates to police, but also transportation and quality of life issues. There needs to be more collaboration. You know, in Baltimore County, we go after rats. We go into a neighborhood to eradicate rats, and there's no coordination with Baltimore City. So, you know, the rats aren't bright. They don't know where the boundary is. They go hang out in the city for a while, and then they come back again. So in a whole host of areas, we need to have, I believe, more coordination and collaboration.
And what would that look like specifically? We got to take a break, but just real quickly, how would that – what would you do that's not being done currently?
So I think – throughout Baltimore County, and it's not just as it relates to Baltimore County, their customer service is not very good. We don't have great external communications. We don't have great internal communications. I believe that our folks need to be reaching out where appropriate to their peers in Baltimore City to make sure that we are coordinating our activity. If they're doing something in Baltimore City that impacts the border of Baltimore County and we're not involved in it, we're missing an opportunity. So hopefully with coordination and collaboration, 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, I think of things like the Gun Trace Task Force, where there certainly
exactly.
was coordination between the county police department and the city police
department. And the governor,
it was very effective.
And the governor put together a task force dealing with unserved warrants. Been very successful. Last I heard, they have served like 400 or 500 warrants. And this is a coordinated effort between the city, the county, the state police, and other law enforcement agencies.
Al Redmer Jr. is the Maryland Insurance Commissioner, a former state delegate. In the June primary, he beat Delegate Pat McDonough by more than 10 points to secure the Republican nomination to run for Baltimore County Executive against Democrat Johnny Olszewski Jr. The last day to register to vote is October 16th. Coming right up, early voting begins in 36 days. Election Day is November 6th. You can join our conversation much sooner than that, about 90 seconds from now, at 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWYPR. You can catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you just joined us, my guest for the hour is the Insurance Commissioner of Maryland, Al Redmer Jr. He is a Republican and he's running for Baltimore County Executive. Mr. Redmer will be back here on midday on October 22nd with his Democratic opponent, Johnny Olszewski Jr. They will spend the hour answering my questions and yours. This is all part of our series of Conversations with the Candidates. That series continues on Tuesday when we'll talk with three third-party candidates. Green Party candidate Ian Schlockman is running for governor. Libertarian David Lasher is running for Congress. And independent Neil Simon is running for the U.S. Senate. They'll join me to talk about their campaigns and the future of third-party candidacies moving forward. And next month, I will spend the hour with Jesse Colvin. He's a Democrat who is running against Republican District 1 Congressman Andy Harris. But now, back to the race for Baltimore County Executive with Al Redmer. Our phone number on midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Let's go to Columbia, Maryland, and welcome Terry Hill, who I understand is a delegate from the 12th District. Mr. Hill, welcome to Midday.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, Ms. Hill, excuse me.
Al, good to talk with you.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I had one question. You were just speaking about criminal justice, and you were talking, I think the question had to do with releasing people, getting them out of jail. So I'm a little confused because you know, of course, that the governor signed the Justice Reinvestment Act, which is basically many of the policies that that Ben Jealous is promoting. So I'm not clear. Are you saying that the governor is not really recognizing that we have a lot of people going to jail who have behavioral health and addiction problems, and we should actually treat those problems instead of sending them straight to jail? I mean, because that's where the savings come in. The savings come in when we're locking up fewer people, we're rehabilitating them, we're getting them the jobs and sending them back out on the street, rather than, since 80% of the people who are arrested come back to our communities anyway, rather than locking them up and increasing the criminal acumen and then having them come back. So I'm a little confused about your saying that, I mean, it seems, the only reason I'm calling in is because I don't like my community being scared that stuff that we've already started that is designed to make them safer is going to make them less safe. So I'm confused about why you don't understand what it is that we did or disagree with what it is that the governor signed.
Thank you, Delegate Hill, for that call.
Thank you for calling. So let me try to dissect the question. So first off, no, I am not indicating that what you and the governor did was wrong. Not at all. My understand, and certainly I don't want to debate Ben Jealous's proposals. What I said was that my opponent has endorsed Ben Jealous, and that Ben Jealous has proposed that we significantly reduce the public safety budget, and let which would provide more folks to be released from prison and be out on the street. So the governor's legislation that he signed is different from that. So all I'm suggesting is to take folks that are currently in prison and let them out of prison is probably not in the best interest of public safety in Baltimore County. That's the only point I was trying to make.
We have a message from Melissa on Facebook. What would you do to address the growing homeless population in southeastern Baltimore County? Additional funds for another shelter, perhaps? Currently, there is a women's and children's shelter in Rosedale, and the only men's shelter is on the west side. We have a growing population now living under abandoned gas stations and under the trees in Hawthorne on Eastern Avenue. This brings up the whole issue of affordable housing as well, not just the homeless issue, but the issues of affordable housing. There's a consent decree that requires the county to build over the next 10 or 12 years some 1,000 new affordable housing units. Your feelings about that, about implementing the consent decree, and your reaction to Melissa's comment about homelessness.
Homelessness is a significant problem. So I live in Eastern Baltimore County. I actually live in Hawthorne that she mentioned. So I see the homeless every day. Not only that, there's a significant quality of life issue both in Eastern Baltimore County and Southwestern Baltimore County. I drive through neighborhoods every day, including my own, where I see living conditions and conditions in the community that are allowed to exist that would not be tolerated in other areas. And the message there is Eastern Baltimore County, Southwestern Baltimore County, and probably a few others have been neglected by Baltimore County for years. So the end of the period of neglect for these communities is going to end if I become county executive. I do believe that we need to, again, I mentioned the fact we need to have a long-term plan and identify short-term solutions. And obviously the homeless has to be a part of that. And I do believe that we do need more homeless shelter opportunities in Baltimore County. And that's something we're going to do.
Ideas about where to build them?
No, at this point, I do not.
How about affordable housing and the consent decree?
So the consent decree I am opposed to. And I believe that we should go back to federal court and try to unwind it for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was done not in an open and transparent way, and it wasn't done with the consent of the county council. So just from a process standpoint, I believe that that is inappropriate. The other thing is, I believe that the consent decree is discriminatory in and of itself. So what it says is we're going to add 1,000 new affordable units. A significant percentage of that is going to be Section 8 with individuals and dependents.
And that's subsidized housing.
Subsidized housing. It says that we're going to take $30 million of taxpayer money to provide incentives to build these units. Again, I don't know how you can do that without the council approval. So I think there's a couple questions in or a couple problems. Part of the decree says we are going to direct folks into certain specific neighborhoods. So we're going to direct folks maybe to Perry Hall, White Marsh, Lutherville, Timonium, Cockeysville, that York Road corridor. If I'm a new voucher recipient and I don't want to live in those areas, I believe that it is discriminatory to direct folks to live in areas that they don't want to live.
But as a general, the gist behind the consent decree is that there needs to be more affordable housing in the county. Do you believe that there should be more affordable housing? And if you don't agree with the consent decree, maybe you take them to court, maybe you win, maybe you lose, who knows? But what should the approach of county government be to facilitating of affordable housing?
We need to have more reasonably priced housing in Baltimore County.
All done privately? Any role for the county government?
Well, you have to evaluate. So, as an example, in Baltimore County, there are no more 1,000-acre tracts of land to build big developments. So, all of the development, for the most part, is going to be small infill developments, smaller projects. And I am told, because of the rules and the bureaucracy in Baltimore County, that the unit price to build these smaller units is too high. So we need to look at the entire development process, look at the rules that are in place, and look at what we can do to allow for citizen input, but fix the process so that the unit cost is lesser than it currently is. So doing those kinds of things would allow for more affordable housing. And whether there is other financial incentives that should be provided is going to have to happen on a case-by-case basis.
We are almost out of time, but let me give you 30 seconds to respond to a sort of the notion of the blue wave in this election, because there are people who say that it's not just a national blue wave, and there are even very established Republicans, George Will, Michael Gerson, Steve Schmidt, mm-hmm. saying, you know, if you're a Republican, the Republican Party that we know is no longer, and the only way to fix it is to break it down and build it back up. They're saying vote Democrat up and down the ticket.
Sure.
How do you respond to those folks?
So, you know, there's a percentage of the population that are going to vote Democrat no matter what. There's a percentage of the population that's going to vote Republican no matter what. I have talked to literally thousands of people in Baltimore County, and they're not asking me about Washington. Most people aren't asking me about Annapolis. They want to know about crime and education. They want to know about what we're going to do with traffic congestion. They want to know what we're going to do about potholes. They are interested in Baltimore County issues. They're not interested in Annapolis and D.C.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we will see you again soon. Al Redmer Jr., he's running against Johnny Olszewski Jr. for Baltimore County Executive. Both Mr. Redmer and Mr. Olszewski will be with us here on Midday next month. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
That's it for us today. Tomorrow, more on the latest poll from the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College with the director of the center, Malaya Cromer, and Baltimore Sun reporter Luke Broadwater, plus a review of Sweeney Todd at Rep Stage in Washington with our theater critic J. Wynn Russick. Lunch today was provided by the Baltimore Chef Shop. They're on the Avenue in Hamden, offering a variety of private events and cooking classes for kids and adults, including baking and international cuisines. Tonight, there's a class in regional Italian cooking. Tomorrow, it's the Thai street food evening, and on Friday night, Indian cuisine. So we'll have more on the web at baltimorechefshop.com.
FutureCity.com. Future City with Wes Moore is up after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. On behalf of all of us on the Midday team, thanks for listening. Have a great day.